Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program live broadcast for Saturday, June 9th, 2012. Third and final hour now upon us as we broadcast to our affiliate stations across the country, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network, including our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, AM 1380 WLRM. I want to thank Keith Alexander for his contributions to the program tonight during the first 2 hours. Now it's time to get to our featured guests for the evening, the first of which being a very good friend of mine for many years now, a man who began appearing on this show upon its very inception back in 2004, a man who has logged, as we always tell you, more appearances than any other single guest in the history of our program. He is, of course, Reverend Ted Pike, the National Director of the National Prayer Network at truthtellers.org. And as I was telling Ted this morning, it's actually an invitation to reappear about a month overdue, as Ted should have roses laid at his feet as he makes the victory lap around the track. GCB, we all know what that stands for, good Christian name we cannot mention on the air, has been canceled by ABC. It was a one-and-done show, and let me tell you, folks, the kind of money they were putting into promoting that anti-Christian monstrosity, they were not expecting it to fare so poorly. They were not expecting your protests to be so robust. This was a show that they had in mind to take over the slot of Desperate Housewives, one of their mainstays for the last several years. It did not work out that way. And if I may be so bold as to say, the man that we have on the air tonight played a big role in the results there with GCB being canceled. We merely supported his efforts. Ted Pike, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, James.
Well, it's my pleasure, my friend, as it always is. Let's talk about your entry dated May 14th of this year. GCB has been canceled. Ted, take it away.
Yes. Actually, this was probably the most under-protested outrage from Hollywood we've ever seen. There was complete silence, except for a brief statement by Donald Wildman of the American Family Association, and a protest statement by New York Councilman Peter Vallone. Literally all religious conservative leadership was silent of protest of GCB. I don't know exactly the motivations, but I think they all believed that it was hopeless to protest it. Here we have Disney, back Robert Iger of Disney, and a full force, the Jewish media, promoting this, as you said, attempting to make it the premier replacement for Desperate Housewives next fall. And we at the National Prayer Network felt very, very powerfully that this outrage could not go uncontested. And we led the charge with about 25 articles. We were able to completely dominate the search engines under Protest GCB or similar titles like that. And what it did was it gave the impression to the something like 150 sponsors that there was raging controversy on the internet against GCB, when in reality the whole thing was notable for the lack of controversy in the country. And what happened was these articles, if these articles hadn't been put up by myself and my staff writer Harmony Dawes, there would have been almost no lasting presence, evidence of controversy on the internet against GCB. As a result, 4 out of 5, about 160 sponsors, about 80% or 44 out of 5 sponsors only advertised once. We were able to coax 13 national advertisers to publicly announce that they were not going to advertise anymore on GCB. But in short, what we did was we cut out the entire economic base and hopes and credibility. I described this as making GCB the advertising typhoid Mary of television. And There were other reasons. I think probably the foremost reason was my very frequent public declaration that anti-Christian Jews, even homosexual Jews, were the main creative guts behind this program. In fact, I dramatized how Robert Iger, who is a very religious, pious Jew, in the wrong sense of the term, he's some kind of a conservative or Orthodox Jew, not at all a secular Jewish media mogul of Hollywood. He's the one who gave the green light, stood behind this Christian vilifying production as head of Disney. And then Darren Star is a very passionate homosexual producer, and of course he did produce Desperate Housewives. He's the executive producer. And then Alan Poole is a really flaming homosexual, very passionate. He was the director of this, and then Aaron Kaplan was a producer. So the whole show was basically an attack by Jewry, liberal, even homosexual representatives of a Jewish animus against Christianity. And I didn't spare that emphasis. We blasted that all over the internet for 9 weeks. And I believe that because we didn't follow the standard evangelical recipe of just, protesting or sending in petitions to ABC, but instead we went basically for the juggler. We said this is a Jewish attack on Christianity. We embarrassed the Jewish community. We, in fact, I in one of my last emails, I let the Jews of ABC know that I'd be around next fall. If they were going to run it again, we'd run a whole new protest as the Lord led. I think all of these things combined with the quite abysmal ratings, they were getting about a C- as far as popularity in the general public. But on the other hand, there were four or other programs who significantly had significantly lower ratings than GCB that were renewed. So there were other reasons here, just besides it just being a lackluster production as far as the public was concerned. There was a real threat here. I believe we hit them very hard, and I just want to give the praise to the Lord. The Lord above all, He used us like a Gideon's band, a tiny Gideon's band, to really create a much greater impression of strength and protest than actually existed.
Amen, Ted. I certainly agree with that. And again, for all of the Christians, and not even just the Christians, just the millions of decent Americans that are out there who had a problem with this show, you offered them a place to come, you organized, you issued the clarion call, and if they were looking for opposition, they found it with you, and frankly, with only you. I mean, certainly we had you on a couple of times during the protest campaign. We supported your efforts, but it was, in fact, your efforts, and the only role we played was a supplemental role to that which you initiated. And at the end of the day, a victory was won, and in a day during which victories are far too far in between, we were able to celebrate one. But again, one victory, and then the battle continues, and we're going to shift gears from celebration to calls for concern after this commercial break with Reverend Ted Pike. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
This is Mercy, If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. The man that we have as our guest this segment, certainly a hero of mine, and I don't think that's exaggerating the situation at all. Reverend Ted Pike should be a hero of everyone listening to this program tonight, and indeed, I'm sure he is to many in this audience. But we shift gears now from the celebration of the cancellation of GCB to issues that Ted is currently tracking at truthtellers.org that give us cause for concern. We can never sleep. We can never rest. The enemy is eternally vigilant, so also must we be. Ted, anytime you're on the show, an hour wouldn't be enough. Unfortunately, we only have two segments tonight with you, so we have about 8 minutes left with you this evening. What can you tell us over the course of the next 8 minutes that people should be aware about and the information they can find at your website tonight?
Well, our website is dedicated to waking up evangelical Christians. There are something like 70 million evangelicals who are totally blind to the realities that you and I preach on our venues. And I should mention that as a result of dominating the search engines on the GCB, we brought thousands and thousands of evangelicals to truthtellers.org because there was nobody else out with any kind of consistent writing, protest, or information about it. And this is valuable because one of our great objectives is to orient the church to the fact that modern Israel is not the fulfillment of the great prophecies, sublime prophecies of the Old Testament, which about bringing the Jews back to Palestine, which were always predicated upon belief in Jesus Christ, acceptance of Jesus Christ. And I certainly believe that that will happen someday as the whole Zionist experiment collapses. I sent out an email this last week, which it's entitled "Top Israel Rabbi Says Gentiles Are Murderers, Thieves, and Brainless." And there's a top rabbi in Israel, head of the Lithuanian branch of ultra-Orthodox Judaism, who said, "There are 8 billion people in the world, and what are they? Murderers, thieves, brainless people. But who's the essence of the world?" Of course, he means the Jews are. Has God created the world for these murderers, for these evildoers? These non-Jews have no connection to the Torah, and they have nothing and no good principles, and so on. This is an example of another one of these rabbis in Israel who's sounding off with very dramatic confirmation that the Talmud and the Zohar are Kabbalah, which is their main spiritual source, is murderous, literally murderous and contemptuous of the Gentiles. And this statement by Rabbi Aaron Steinman coincides at exactly the same time with the release of the authors of a really outrageous book. Many of our listeners are familiar with the King's Torah, which is an ultra-Orthodox commentary on the Talmud, which came out several years ago, which boldly advocates killing Gentiles, particularly Arabs, and in particular, Arab children. It gives complete green light to the settlers, particularly the ultra-Orthodox settlers, to kill Gentile Arab children, saying they will probably grow up and become terrorists. And the King's Torah was very popular, very widely distributed. Many hundreds of rabbis supported it in Israel. And however, Israel has a law called the law against incitement to hatred, and the government put forth a feeble effort to prosecute the two authors of the book, Yitzhak Shapira and Yosef Elitzer. But this last week, they were exonerated. They were let go. The government of Israel said they did not feel that this book was indictable, even though they're calling for outright killing of Gentiles. This is a green light now for the very dangerous ultra-Orthodox Haredim extremist settler movement now to continue even worse as they chop down the olive orchards of the Arabs, they plug up their wells, they steal their lands, they outright murder and shoot Palestinians on their own property. And I also mentioned in this article that John Hagee and Joe Fair, the head of WorldNet Daily, are passionate Israel firsters who rigorously censor any criticism of Israel. I go into detail about Hagee, how Hagee is funneling an average of about $10 million a year of evangelical donations, not just into Israeli charities, but into the settlements, the settler ultra-Orthodox radical violent settlements in the West Bank, beyond the Green Line. He is providing funds that provide the infrastructure and amenities to these radical settlements over there, because what these evangelicals are interested in doing is building a power structure of settlements and institutions in the occupied territories that cannot be removed, and eventually all Arabs, Farah, the rest of them, want all Arabs to be resettled, pushed out of the land into adjoining or neighboring Arab countries. So what we have is a very dangerous situation over there. The evangelicals, unfortunately, are lining up, both monetarily and in their moral sympathies, with the most radical right-wing violent factions in Israeli society.
Ladies and gentlemen, trust me when I say that this is only one of several topics, very important topics, that Ted Pike has begun to track since the victory over GCB. Now, again, we're so starved for victories here. When we sustain one, we believe as though we can retreat from the battlefield and take a furlough for a few weeks. The enemy's not like that. He, as the Bible says, is eternally vigilant and is roaming around, waiting to devour us. And you take a couple of weeks off, you're going to miss something, and you're going to lose ground. And so we can't be content to say that, okay, now that we've stopped GCB, all is well in the world. Certainly nothing could be further from the truth. And Ted Pike is tracking many of these. Ted, we only have about a minute or two left with you. Not much time left to get into another topic. I would just encourage my audience again to go and visit your work, learn more about it, support it at truthtellers.org. There you are talking about the story you just mentioned, Zionist evangelicals or world-class censors, the ADL potentially preparing for an internet takeover, and so much more. Again, all of this since the cancellation of GCP. So, you know, news travels fast and stories change quickly. Ted, 60 seconds. What else do you have to say for us tonight, my friend?
I just encourage people to come to truthtellers.org. We are on the cutting edge of events that are very threatening to our liberty, to our Christianity, to our whole Christian civilization. And many, many evangelicals now are coming to Truth Tellers. Particularly, they're coming to our Bible studies. We have in-depth Bible studies twice a week, providing a spiritual perspective and spiritual orientation to the problem of the Zionist threat and so on. All these issues are covered at Truth Tellers. We, of course, are famous for providing resource material against hate crimes legislation and on, but basically we're trying to bring the evangelicals back to reality, get them out of their brainwashed state, back in touch with biblical perspectives on Israel.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know him as loyal and regular listeners of this show. This man needs no introduction, but for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, let me encourage you once again to visit truthtellers.org. Support the work of Reverend Ted Pike. My friend, I look forward to the next time already.
Thank you, James.
And there he goes, Reverend Ted Pike. We will be back with our second and final guest of the evening right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs, and there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number three, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and it's James Edwards here, the final half hour of the political cesspool radio program tonight. Another experiment in talk radio. We actually did this a couple of months ago, and it worked out very well under the circumstances, as loyal listeners of this show will remember. Winston Smith is a very valued member of our hosting staff, along with myself, Keith Alexander, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and Bill Rowland. Unfortunately, Winston suffered the loss of his hearing not too long ago, and obviously, as a result of that, his on-air participation has been limited, but Winston, in his creative genius, has found a way around that, and it worked once before, and we're hoping that it's going to work again tonight. With the aid of a courtroom transcriptionist, Winston is able to read what we're saying live on the air as the show progresses, and then respond in kind as if he could hear us all along. It's a marvel. It makes you glad you lived this long. Winston, are you there, my friend?
Yes, I am, James. Thank you very much for that introduction.
Well, it's great to have you back. I tell you, we all miss the days, and I speak for Keith and Eddie and Bill when I say it's horrible. It's hard not to be able to share the stage with you far more frequently, but we are glad that you're on tonight, and you're on tonight to basically spearhead the interview of one of our featured guests this evening, Jason Cottrell. He is the author of Rise of the Black Serial Killer, documenting a startling trend. And in this book, the author, who is making his debut appearance on the show tonight, expels the myth that serial killers in America are predominantly white, as we've all been told. On the contrary, he says, after sifting through a myriad of newspaper records and books, he's compiled a list of murderers that is equal to or greater than the number of white serial killers from 1860 to present. Few, if any, have ever heard of their names or their stories until now. And the book is available on Amazon.com and other places as well. Rise of the Black Serial Killer. Justin, are you with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, my friend. Great to have you. Welcome to the show. And Winston, with that being said and the stage now set, my friend, I don't want to waste a single minute that we have available with you. Take it away.
All right. Thank you, James. My friends, I'm pleased to welcome to the political cesspool Mr. Justin Cottrell, a good friend of mine. And as James said, he's the author of an astounding book titled Rise of the Black Serial Killer. It's a thoroughly documented and well-thought-out tome, if you will. And I was astounded when I read the advance copy. So, Justin, welcome to the cesspool, my friend. It's a pleasure to get to talk with you.
Pleasure being here. I appreciate you letting me on tonight.
Well, the pleasure's all ours, so let's get right into it. Excuse me. Now, Justin, naturally, there will be plenty of small minds out there who will ascribe to you certain racist motivations for writing this book. How will you respond to them? What was the criteria that you established for what is a serial killer? And how will you respond to people who say that this is simply a racist screed?
Well, it's not a racist screed. There's actually criminologists that have been talking about this for a long time. And they're the ones that started scraping the field and saying, you know, somebody's going to come along someday and plant this thing and show us that there are a lot of black serial killers, but none of them had the time to devote to it because they were trying to cover all serial killers. And nobody had done it, and I started finding quite a few of them by researching and was in contact with a lot of families that had family members that were victims, and they encouraged me to go forward with the information. And so there was nothing racist about it at all. As I tell everybody, if there had been a shortage of books on white serial killers, I would have written one of those. But instead, nobody's written about black, and so I covered that. But as for criteria, the old FBI standard used to be anybody that killed three or more people over at least a one-month period at different times was a serial killer. They've kind of erased that now because along with that, they had a guy that was featured, you know, kind of looked like Joe Dirt. It was a white male, 35 years old or so, was what they said all serial killers look like. Well, we found out that's wrong. A serial killer can be anybody, any sex, any race. And they've changed it to now anybody that's killed two or more over a one-month span with a pause in between them. And so that's kind of my criteria is what the FBI recognizes as a serial killer.
I would think that to counter the people who would say that you're just acting as a racist in writing this book, I think it's fair to say that the victims of these black serial killers are not exclusively white, but you also cover the blacks that have been murdered by these black serial killers. Is that right?
I do. Yeah, I do. And, you know, in the book, not only do I cover all the statistics and the facts and the media, lack of coverage on it, but I cover 35 biographies of serial killers that are black, and quite a few of those had black victims. But one thing you mentioned I would like to mention about the white victims, I did a study in the book I tried to find white serial killers that killed black, just had black victims, and there's not very many of them. There's only 17 that I can find that had only black victims, and there's 48 total that had some black victims. So about 5.5% of white serial killers killed outside their race. Couple that with black serial killers, compare it to black serial killers, about 58.5% of them killed outside their race, and 282 killed only white victims. You know, it's staggering numbers. It's about 10 times the amount. So, and it's just facts, but I keep getting told that I guess facts are racist now, so.
Now, in certain forums, we refer to the truth as hate facts. If you propagate the wrong truth or the truth that does not follow the politically correct script, then that's a hate fact.
Yeah, you're right, and you know I find that quite a bit. And what's funny is I've talked to quite a few people, like I said, that have lost family members to some of these monsters, and they're from all walks of life. Some of them are black, some Hispanic, some white, some even Asian. And they always thank me. The only flack that I get are from, you know, kind of from the white liberal type people. They send me hate mail. I usually get it about twice a week. And every time it's, oh, you're a big mean racist. You shouldn't have written this book. So,
Your book is, to say the least, disturbing, partly because it's a foreign subject. We don't associate mass murder with blacks. How is it that mass murder has become to be thought of as a uniquely white sociopathy?
Well, we can thank the media for that. You know, I do a study in the book also, just with Hollywood, and there's about 500 movies that I can find record of, you know, from B to Better Grade that have covered serial killers, and only about four or five of them have black serial killers. And of those, two of them are based on real stories, you know, the Beltway Snipers, and the rest are fictional. And so people see that, and they see the Silence of the Lambs and movies like that, and they think, oh, man, look at that white cannibal. And they hear the stories of Jeffrey Dahmer and think, oh, they're all white. And the same with in the media. You know, during Jeffrey Dahmer's trial, there was another trial going on in Florida that we never heard a thing about back in 1992. It was the Yahweh Ben Yahweh murderers down there. They killed at least 23 whites plus four of their own members. And they did it because they were killing blue-eyed devils, as they said. They thought it was their pathway to get to eternal glory was to eliminate white devils. Did we hear about that? No. We heard about Jeffrey Dahmer in his cannibalistic ways up in Milwaukee.
Rise of the Black Serial Killer is 480 pages long. That's quite a substantial book. Could you tell the listeners what's in the book and how you've arranged it?
Well, how I've arranged it is I start off just talking about kind of what me and you have talked about, the fact that they do exist, and why we haven't heard about them. So I talk quite a bit in the early chapters about the media bias. And I show several cases, and one of them, when the Beltway snipers happened back in 2002, and if you remember the story, they were looking for a white guy about 35 years old in a white minivan, and they found out it was two black guys that were responsible, and they came back and said, wow, we're shocked. We've never heard of black serial killers. And so I build off that and show that there really are black serial killers, and they do make small blips on the radar, but none of them ever make major blips. And so, and I go through, and I go from that to presenting the evidence for what I found, and then going through just some of the unusual behavior associated with serial killers, from cannibalism to overkill and things like that. And then I also go through and list every single killer that's there and the race of their victims, the method of their kills. And I do a few other things, too, that, you know, I've never seen in any other books, and one of them just, it blew my mind when I found out. But I found about 100 these killers that were repeat offenders.
Justin, with that, my friend, hold on right there. We got to take a break. We got 10 more minutes forthcoming with Justin Cottrell, author of Rise of the Black Serial Killer. Check it out at Amazon.com tonight. But don't go anywhere. Winston and Justin will continue this riveting conversation right after these words from our sponsors. We gotta get out of this place.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child, or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, final segment, if you can believe it, of tonight's live broadcast of the political cesspool radio program. It's certainly an honor to share the microphone once again with my friend and Confederate and co-host, Winston Smith. Such a joy to have him back on the show under the circumstances. He is overcoming his ailment to be with you tonight. And for that, we give him a robust hug. And Winston, it truly is great to have you back, particularly when you've brought to the table with you the author of a very intriguing book. And of course, y'all were having a great conversation about that book before the break. And I would ask you to continue your discussion now.
All right. Thank you, James. Justin, go ahead and continue with your description of what readers can expect when they buy this book. I'm especially intrigued by the biographies of the serial killers you talk about. Can you tell us about that?
I sure can. I cover towards the end of the book. I initially, when I'd set out before, you know, about a year and a half ago, when I decided to write this book, I was going to do a biography on every serial killer I had. I had about 250 then. I thought, oh, it's not that big a task. But every time I logged on the computer to search, I found three or four more. And eventually it grew up to where I have 843 now. And, well, since I wrote the book, I found nine more that aren't there. But the point is it was a little much. And so I narrowed it down to 35 that I really liked their stories. It's not the ones that killed the most, but it's the ones that just really exemplify the kind of the worst of the worst of the black serial killers. And I don't get into really the nitty-gritty, gory details, but I tell the story of their crimes, and I list the victims' names and any particulars of the case that are important. And I've been told by a lot of friends and people that have read the book that they really were touched by the biographies and just were shocked by some of the crimes these guys committed. They just, you know, they'd never heard of it. And so yeah, I agree with you. It's a good part of the book. And as I was saying before the break, too, another thing that I found that just blew me away is repeat offenders. And I go through there with a list of, I believe it's 82 to 90, somewhere in there, repeat offenders. And some of these guys have been in and out of prison for murder up to four times. That means they killed, were paroled, killed again, paroled, and just a continuous cycle. We keep circulating these serial killers through our prisons, and it just, it's mind-boggling to me to think about that we're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Folks, I do want to mention before we go any further that you can find out even more about this disturbing, intriguing book by, you can read the reviews at Amazon.com. You can also go to www.sonsofjapheth.com. Sons of Japheth is all one word. Good biblical reference there. And you can also go to YouTube. Just do a search for Rise of the Black Serial Killer, and you'll see what Justin was talking about earlier about Hollywood being to blame for the notion that that only white people are serial killers. So, Justin, have I missed any other sources where they can find out information about the book or order a copy?
Well, you know, I'm solely selling it on Amazon right now, except for here in my local area in North Idaho. But I've got another website that my son and I have started called the Ethnic Crime Report. They can click on it there, and there's an advertisement there. They can look at it, and it's a new website I started that just talks about interracial crime, and it's kind of a dovetail into the next book that I'm working on now, covering, you know, what happens. We all know what happens. And so on my website, I talk about not just black killings, but killings from any race that crosses into another race. And on that, I'm starting to put some of the black serial killers that killed outside their race on there as well. So getting quite a bit of information there. And like I said, you can click there to order the book as well.
Further proof that that you're not doing this just to, you know, stick it to the black community. But still, you know, this story should have been told all along, but it took you to actually work up the moxie to do it. So, you know, let me thank you personally and professionally for doing that. I know our time is getting short here. And I want to ask you one final question, and it's kind of long, so if you would, just give me a few moments to set it up. Now, you dedicate your book, quote, to the thousands of victims of the serial killers listed in this book and to their families for keeping their memory alive, end quote. Now, Justin, I think the reason blacks continue to prey upon European Americans is because we don't really keep their memory alive. After a black has ruthlessly murdered a European American, the families tend to take the attitude that they just want to put it behind them and get on with life. No one is reminded of the heinousness, the sadism, and the inhumanity of these murders. But every year, the country is reminded of James Byrd, and rest assured that in the coming years, we'll be reminded of Trayvon Martin. One recently reported on example of this is the Omar Thornton Memorial Fund, which you can read about at thepoliticalcesspool.com or .org. Now, that particular effort is an insulting and pathetic thing, but still, it is an attempt to keep front and center the violent death of a black, even though that death occurred by his own hand and after he murdered eight European Americans. So I guess that's a long way of asking this. Am I correct about our people's failure to memorialize our own who have fallen victim to the black murderers?
No, I don't think you are. And that's one of the things, like I said, I dedicate it to the victims. I don't care what race they are. You know, even with some of the black victims, they get upset, their families, because nobody wants to talk about it because it's a hush-hush thing in the media, but especially if they're white and especially if they're very heinous. You mentioned James Byrd. We've all heard this story. We've all heard about what happened in Jasper, Texas, but nobody's ever heard that in 1999 to 2000, there was a black serial killer that actually lynched three white victims, hung them. I mean, classic lynching style in Southern California and Riverside, California. I detail that in my book. And I would like them to be remembered because we never hear about it. In fact, you can't even find a news media article on this guy. And so the point is, yeah, I think we need to remember the victims because I think it would help to scare some of these guys from thinking, hey, I can get away with this. Nobody, they're getting away with it scot-free. And so when I do talk about that in the book, that, you know, crime, the punishments need to be more severe, as well as just vigilance to say, hey, no, we're not putting up with this in our community. And so I agree 100% with what you're saying.
It's always bothered me that that European Americans are so reluctant to establish memorials and candlelight services every year on the woesome anniversaries of these events. And as you alluded to, I think it's the fact that these people and their families, they get away with virtual anonymity because we don't keep it front and center like they do. And, you know, folks, God forbid that something terrible happened to one of our listeners, but I urge you to start changing your attitude about your place in society. There are people out there who hate you simply because of the color of your skin, and people who want to prey upon that should not be allowed to get away with it scot-free. They should be faced with it every day of their lives. Justin, is there anything else you'd like to say, anything you'd like to add in these final moments?
Just one more thing. I keep getting asked about this quite a bit in email because of all the events of cannibalism that have happened, you know, from Miami to other parts of the country this year. And they say, hey, do the black serial killers do that as well? I'm telling them, you know what? It's about a ratio of 3-1 compared to white serial killers. Yes, they do it, and they do it quite a bit. But all we hear about is Jeffrey Dahmer. Everybody's convinced he's only cannibal, but he's not. There's quite a few black serial killers that were as well. And I know that's an aside, but I think it's a great tie-in to what's happening in our country now with all these new cases of overbeating and cannibalism and just their hate crimes that are happening against European Americans. And so that's all I have to say about it.
Well, you know, before we came on the air, I saw a story about the Miami cannibal. They didn't find any human flesh in his stomach. So they found a lot of it in his teeth, but none in his stomach. So I guess it's kind of like the old, he didn't inhale, you know, he chewed, but he didn't swallow. And I guess that makes it okay. I personally feel much better about the whole thing now, and I feel more optimistic and all that. Well, Justin, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I do appreciate it. Folks, that's Rise of the Black Serial Killer by Justin Cottrell. The book is recommended by yours truly and by some goofball named James Edwards. And I urge you to go to Amazon.com and look it up. Go to YouTube, look up Rise of the Black Serial Killer. Justin, thank you so much for putting in all the effort to lay waste to the myth that that the black community is immune to this sort of sociopathy.
Thanks for having me. I always enjoy talking about it, and I hope people will check it out and can learn from it.
Justin Cottrell, everyone, C-O-T-T-R-E-L-L, Rise of the Black Serial Killer. Check it out at Amazon.com today. Justin, it's certainly been our pleasure to have you on the show tonight. And I tell you what, without the benefit of being able to hear, Winston Smith can craft one hell of an interview only here on the Political Cesspool. And Winston, my friend, great to work with you again tonight as well. That's all the time we have. We're out of it. I'm James Edwards, and we'll see you next week. God bless you, everybody. Good night from the Political Cesspool.